Father, we're so grateful to be in this place. Father, we come in the name of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, I'm reminded today, Lord, that your Son didn't have any mercy when he went to the cross. No mercy at all. Judgment was poured out upon him that we would have mercy. The more mercy's been given to us, Lord. And now we can walk in your grace, Lord. And we're so grateful and thankful for that, Lord. Lord, we lift up this time together, Lord. We know it's a short time before you come and get us and catch us away, Lord. We look for that day, that soon and coming day. Could be tonight. Father, we ask you, Lord, just to anoint our hearts, Lord, to receive your word. Lord, cause us to grow even more tonight in faith, Lord. For faith belongs to you, Lord. And we give you the praise, Lord, and we give you all glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, if you'd open your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis 22, we're going to probably start there. The title of this message or the theme is The Ways of the Lord. We're going to look at the ways of the Lord. And you're probably going to know, most of you will know this story, but there may be some things in it that you've not thought before. And I'm going to talk about Abraham a little bit. But in Genesis 22, actually, I'm going to start with my text, and it's Proverbs 23:26. Proverbs 23:26, it says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." We're going to be talking about the ways of the Lord. Now, that's a huge subject. We'd never be able to even talk about all the scriptures that encompass the ways of the Lord. Give me thine heart, and you are called a son. He wants us to give him our hearts. And I venture to say that everybody here has. You are his treasure and his sons. Today in this world, we can see the attitude of the hearts of the people. It is the Laodicean times, the rights of the people. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What is it that we commit to the Lord? It's our hearts, our very lives. That's what we commit to the Lord. Now, our hearts and our lives is what he wants. He wants our lives and our hearts. Didn't he pay the price for that? In 1 Kings 8:38, you don't have to turn there. It's a story about Israel who rebelled against the Lord. And it says, "Every man shall know the plague of his own heart." Today, that's happening. We see the plague of every man's heart, and it's not good. In Proverbs 4:23, though, we can do this. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now, the second part of the text that I quoted, "Let thine eyes observe my ways." How could we be the object of God's eternal love? You ever thought about that? That God would assume man's nature. Could we imagine that God the Father would send his only begotten Son to die for us? Think about that. The ways of God. We will look at the heart attitude of Abraham, for example, who is the father of a multitude. Now, some would say, well, you know, Abraham, he's a guy of faith. He's way up there on a pedestal. I could never be like him. We're going to talk about Abraham a little bit, and then I'm going to take you to another fella that maybe you can relate to a little bit more. But Abraham, he was supposed to be the father of a multitude, and he is. But God, when God called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldeas, out of idolatry, God told him what he would do. You see, we are not our own responsibility. We are God's responsibility. This is God's ways. We're not our own. "Let thine eyes observe my ways," God says. Christ died for you, and you are not your own anymore. I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. Genesis 22 and verse 2. And he said to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. Imagine this, who thou lovest. He loved his son. I'm sure his heart ached. God said, I want you to get to the land of Moriah and offer up Isaac there for a burnt offering. And you know what a burnt offering is? It's burned to a crisp. Man's reasoning would say, I don't know how in the world you're going to be the father of a multitude. Wouldn't man say that? Moriah means a place of teaching or learning, a place of worship. And God was going to teach him something that he'd never heard before, the ways of God. Abraham rises up early in the morning. He doesn't argue or try to fix it. Why? If they were going to take me and I knew they were going to kill me, I'd be kicking and screaming. But he didn't. He got up early, Abraham did. He saddled his ass and he took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him to go. In verse 4 there it says, on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Are you lifting up your eyes and are you seeing the place afar off? It's faith's eyes that see that. We see that place. We know it's ready for us. It's just about ready. This third day speaks of the resurrection. It speaks of Calvary. We must look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. It's even closer than we even think. In verse 5 there of Genesis 22, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass. Now, the ass speaks of rebellion of the old creation. Get this, no man can try to help. We cannot have the old creation do anything for the Lord. Think of the disciples who walked with Jesus when it was time to go to the cross. Jesus had to go alone. The disciples could only witness the very love of God. There wasn't a crowd in the Garden of Gethsemane with him. God spoke to him alone. Jesus even said, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. But if not, thy will be done. The ways of the Lord. That's what we're talking tonight. Observe the ways of the Lord. This is the ways of the Lord. We wouldn't think this to be anything, nor normal man wouldn't think this to be anything wonderful. But we know the scriptures. We know who he is. Can you imagine going there to slay your son? But he said, we're going there to worship. Abraham said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Can you imagine? You're going there to slay your son, but Abraham doesn't even focus on the circumstances. Don't focus on the circumstances around us today. Safety is of the Lord. So can you imagine that? Going there to slay your son, but he says, I'm going there to worship. Abraham knew God would raise up his son and again make him the father of many nations. Abraham said, abide here and I'll go again to you. I'll come again to you. Have you heard these words before? Jesus said in John 14:3, he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may also be. Where do we look to meet the Lord? In the air. In the air. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Didn't he tell us that? Did he lie? No. The ways of the Lord. If it were not so, I would not have told you this. He saw this place afar off. Abraham did. We're in Genesis 22, by the way. Are we counting those things that are not as though they already were? We're as good as there. Faith You ever thought about faith? What's faith for? Our faith is not so that we can move mountains, but Scripture says it could be. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is to please God. He gave it to us. That's what we use it for, to please Him, to grow up in Him. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. And in verse 6 of Genesis 22 there, it said, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. They went together. What oneness, the Father and the Son. Can you see the love the Father has for His Son and for you? You're His sons. Can you see the oneness here? Now in verse 7 there, Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Now Isaac had walked with his father, and he had learned that Abraham believed God. Abraham was a goodly and godly example to Isaac. He learned that from his father. He didn't question why he was there. Isaac may not understand everything, but he trusts his father. Isaac said, Behold the fire. For the fire is the judgment of God, isn't it? And it has to be laid upon Isaac. And this is typical of Christ Jesus, who took the full judgment of God, past, present, and future. And like I said earlier, there was no mercy for Jesus Christ when he hung on that cross. That he would give us mercy. He didn't have any mercy. He took the full brunt of the judgment. Then, behold the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb? People are so focused today on the fire of judgment and the wood of humanity. They don't see the lamb, how much he loves them. They are not even looking. Where is the lamb? Where is my redeemer? Behold the lamb of God who take away the sin of the world. All the way through this bloodline, we see the love that never fails. However, where are people today? I don't need anything. They are rich and in need of nothing, Revelation says. What a dangerous place to be in. People don't see their need for a redeemer today. They are poor and wretched and blind. Now here at the end of the age, they need counseling, it says. They need eye salve. They need to see and observe the ways of the Lord. My glory is in Him. I am nothing without Him. Where would we be if we have not received the grace of God? Where? God has given us grace. We would be in the same place as the rest of the people. God has placed a divine influence upon our hearts of the grace of God, and our lives are a reflection of this. I see that. Then Abraham answers his son. Hear the father's love in this. Isaac knows that his father taught him the ways of God. He knows that. In verse 8 there of 22, Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. There's no offering for us to bring. There's no work for us to do. We are just to believe in the offering that God, when he brought his son to us, he gave us his son. Isaac had no resistance to this. He didn't resist one bit. Verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar. He built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order, and he bound his son Isaac, and he laid him on the altar upon the wood. God is in the center of this. For this is God's ways. This is the Lord's ways. Abraham built an altar. He laid the wood in order and bound up Isaac, his son. laid him on the altar of that wood. And then in verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. This is a father who loves his only son that came from God. That's where his son came from. God gave him to him. He has to put him to death. Jesus had to come and die. What love is that? God's ways, the ways of the Lord. Verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called out of heaven, and he said unto Abraham, he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything to him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thine only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, get that, didn't look at the circumstances. He didn't look at anything around him. He raised up his eyes, he looked up, lifted up his eyes, and he looked. And behold, behind him, not before him, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. He lifted up his eyes and he looked behind him. Why? He didn't look at the circumstances. He looked behind him. He didn't say, look before you, or look to the future, but look behind him, a ram caught in the thicket. Why does he say behind him? Because Jesus was the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. He always was. The ways of God. Then, bring your attention to Moses. We'll leave Abraham for a minute. It said of Moses in Psalm 103, he had made known his ways unto Moses, but his acts unto the children of Israel. Israel just wanted to see God perform. That's what it boils down to. Just do one more trick for me, Lord. With what I've told you, isn't that a horrible way to treat God? They really didn't want to know God, Israel, at that. In Exodus 33:13, you don't have to turn there, but Moses said, now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, the ways of the Lord. That I may know thee and that I might find grace in thy sight. I want to know God's ways. The lawgiver resorts to the grace of God. Paul had that same plea in Philippians 3, 7 through 10, where he said he suffered the loss of all things and counted them but dung, that he may win Christ. He wanted to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. We want to depend on the Lord and trust him for everything. Now, turn with me to Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 17:3. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. Now, I'm going to highlight some of these scriptures. And we're going to go through about three chapters, but we're not going to read everything. But I just want to give you this story so you can see and put yourself in Jehoshaphat's place. Now, he was the king of Judah, and at this time, Ahab was the king of Israel. And if you remember that the 12 tribes were split into two, 10 tribes were Israel, and 2 tribes were Judah. Jehoshaphat was a good king, and he was king over Judah. 2 Chronicles 17:3 says, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Because, why? And it says, because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not Balaam unto Balaam, but sought the Lord God of his father, and he walked in the commandments, not after the doings of Israel, the ways of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents. And he had riches and honor and abundance. That's the Lord doing that. And here's why. All Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. Verse 6 there. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. If your heart is lifted up in the ways of the Lord, you can make mistakes. It's not that we go out and just freely do everything we want, but we're going to make mistakes. But my heart is for the Lord, and he's going to cover a lot of mistakes for you. Watch this. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. Jehoshaphat did that. Verse 7, also in the third year of his reign, he sent these men to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them they sent Levites. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and they taught the people. What was it they taught? The ways of the Lord. I believe they gave him the gospel that they knew at that time. This was Jehoshaphat that ordered that. Didn't he have a heart for the Lord? God's going to take care of that man. And he did. So, they taught out of the, they taught them. And then in verse 10 there, and the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Would you? No, I wouldn't come against this man. Even the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and silver, and the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams, 7,700 he-goats. Jehoshaphat waxed exceedingly great, and he built in Judah castles and cities of store. And the men of war were mighty. Now, I won't read all of these, but you can read them in verse 14 through 19. He had thousands of men in his mighty army. God did that for him. God did that for him. A man whose heart is for the Lord. The point I want to bring out here is Jehoshaphat lifted up his heart in the ways of the Lord. He saw to it that people were taught in the ways of the Lord. He gave them the gospel, and God blessed him with all these gifts and mighty men. It was incredible what God did for this man, even when he made mistakes. God will guide us. We don't go out knowingly doing stuff, but we make mistakes. I've made some pretty bad blunders, but God has covered me in that. We are his responsibility. I said that earlier. In chapter 18:1, go there. Now Jehoshaphat, he had riches and honor in abundance, and he joined affinity with Ahab. Now here's his first mistake. Ahab is not a good man. He's the king of Israel. He makes this mistake by joining Ahab, king of Israel, but watch how God takes care of this man whose heart is in the ways of the Lord. Verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 18 there, it says, And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, Wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? Jehoshaphat did the right thing. This is what he said. He said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Ahab, king of Israel, gathered together prophets, 400 men. Oh, let's go to the man and listen to what man has to say. You want to go out here and listen to, turn the TV on and listen to what all these men are saying about coronavirus that make you dizzy. Men prophesying stuff they don't know nothing about. And this is what happened here. And he asked this, Ahab asked his men, Shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up. And God will deliver it into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat didn't go for that. He said, Is there not a prophet here of the Lord? He wanted the word of the Lord. Besides that we may inquire of him. And in verse 7 of 2 Chronicles 18, the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, There's yet one man whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Boy, that's a mistake. For he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The same is Micaiah. So they fetched Micaiah to tell him the truth. And he did. And in verse 16 of 18 there, kind of bringing you just a story of this. I'm not going through every scripture there. But then in verse 16 it said, I did see all Israel scattered. This is Micaiah telling them. I did see Israel all scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. Oh, he's telling them. And the king of Israel, this is Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you this man wouldn't prophesy any good to me but evil? And then verse 23 there of 18. Get this. Ahab sends this guy, Zedekiah, and he came near and he smote Micaiah upon the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord for me to speak unto thee? He smacks him in the face. And then the king of Israel said, take Micaiah, in verse 25, carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city. And they put Micaiah in prison. And they fed him with bread of affliction, with water of affliction. This is what Ahab did to a prophet of the Lord, man who brought the word of the Lord. And Micaiah said, if thou certainly return in peace, then hath not the Lord spoken by me. You go your way. Let's see what happens. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, they went to Ramoth-Gilead. Here Jehoshaphat goes into this, even though he said, the prophet of the Lord said no. But watch how the Lord covers him. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, here's man again. I'll disguise myself and go to the battle, but put on thy robes. Tells the king of King Jehoshaphat that. So the king of Israel disguised himself. They went to the battle. In verse 31, it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, is this the king of Israel? And therefore they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. The man whose heart is for the ways of the Lord. And God moved them to depart from him. He probably took off running. I could see him. The Lord helps the man whose heart is lifted up in the ways of the Lord. When these men perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned and ran. But a certain man, get this, now here's another certain man, he drew a bow and a venture and smote the king of Israel who was in the battle. And Ahab, this king of Israel, Ahab, smote him between the joints of the harness, got it right in the chink of that armor. God knows where to hit that arrow, doesn't he? And about the time of the sun going down, he died. That's the end of Ahab. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. The man whose heart is lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Jehoshaphat continued in the ways of the Lord. And get this, after that was over, he set judges in the land through all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. And he told these judges not to go out there and harshly judge these people. But this is what he told him. He told those judges, take heed what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord. You take care of these people. All he wanted to do was keep them from fighting with each other. There was going to be controversies between people. And he wanted them to do it the way the Lord would do it. The ways of the Lord. So he sends these men. And he set judges throughout the land there. And he told these judges to heed what they do. And to judge not for man, but for the Lord. Now he knew that there would be these confrontations among the people. And he wanted them to settle it in a godly way. 2 Chronicles 19:8, just go there for a minute. It says, moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for judgment of the Lord, for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem, just to keep peace. Do it the way the Lord would do it, and the way the scriptures would tell us. Verse 9 of 2 Chronicles 19, he charged them, saying, "Thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart in the ways of the Lord." Verse 10, there it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, get this, and the children of Ammon, and with them others besides Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Oh, this is the wrong thing to do. Jehoshaphat feared, set himself to seek the Lord, a man whose heart is for the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah, all Judah. Now this chapter 20 is a recorded prayer. I'm not going to read it. I challenge you, go back and read it. It's such a wonderful prayer that Jehoshaphat prayed to the Lord. He prayed and asked the Lord for wisdom, and these men were coming against him, these troops. And so he prayed in this chapter, and the Spirit of the Lord came in the midst of the congregation. And in verse 20, 17 there, "You shall not need to fight in this battle," the Lord tells him. "Set yourselves and stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." They did not lift one finger against this enemy, not one finger. The Lord had this enemy defeat themselves. There was so much confusion, they killed each other. Jehoshaphat and his people went down there, and they picked up the spoil. Dead bodies everywhere. They didn't do a thing but pick up the spoil. In verse 18 of 20 there, Jehoshaphat, after he had done that, he bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Amazing, isn't it? Even after this great victory, Jehoshaphat makes a mistake. God does not condemn him, and he doesn't condemn us either when we make mistakes. God sees our heart, our hearts for the ways of the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 20, 35 there, "After this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahazi, king of Israel." Now he had replaced Ahab because Ahab was dead. And this guy was very wicked. He was a very wicked man. "And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. Then Eliezer, the son of Dovida, in 37, and Marisha prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, 'Because thou hast joined thyself to Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works.' And the ships were broken, and they were not able to go to Tarshish." God took care of his man. The heart of a man who's after the ways of the Lord, he took care of him, even when he was making a mistake. And God will do that to you and me. You see, God protects the man whose heart is lifted up in the ways of the Lord. How many times have we made some blunders where God has come in for us? God is for us. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him, because we trust in him." You trust in the Lord? I'm going to close with a scripture. If you go to Psalms 138:5. 138:5. Psalm 138:5. It says, "Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord." This is David. "We are his who traveled by the light we have from Christ. And the light we have within will melt into the eternal light. Let us sing of the ways of the Lord." For we can sing of God's ways to us. And then we can sing of our ways which lead us to God. We can sing of the ways of the Lord with us through Christ Jesus and through the Spirit who has given us, been given to us, because Jesus ascended to his Father and to our Father. What a subject. We can sing of the ways of God because of redemption to us. We can sing of how he has led us by the right way. He has helped us. He's comforted us. He's directed us. He's opened up all riches of his treasure to us. He's communed with us. He's told us the very secret of his soul. He's wiped our tears away. He's removed our fears. He's charmed our hearts. We can sing in the ways of the Lord because we know where we're going to. And we can sing in the ways of God because we know where the road ends. And the best of it is we have daylight to travel in. For we are not the children of darkness. We walk in the light of the life of Christ. Even when we say that it is dark with us, we do not mean that it is so dark as the sinner has darkness. For the darkness of a sinner is so dark, but the brightest, the darkest of our brightest, the darkest of our dark is brighter than anything. Answered prayers make fine hymns. Old prayers make new songs. God hears prayers. We should let him hear them again. When he has heard them as prayers, let him hear them as praises. Today, God is accused rather than realizing that God in his wisdom and God in his sweetness is using everything in his power to get the attention of people and cause them to fall on their faces and cry out unto the Lord. He's our ever-present help in the time of need. We can sing of that. The ways of God are by his love and his grace. For Jesus prayed in John 17:14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. This world is becoming stranger to us every day. We don't belong. We are to be separated. Do you know that there's a division going on like never before? Didn't Jesus say in Luke 2:51, suppose ye that I have come to give peace on earth? He asked the question. I tell you nay, but rather division. Do you know another name for Armageddon? The Valley of Decision. People are going to have to decide. They're going to have to make a decision. Aren't you glad you made yours? We are separated unto him. There's a division going on. But we're about to go home. Are we set apart unto the Lord? Oh, yes, we are. Or are we stuck in that valley of decision? No. Colossians 3:1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. The word seek means that we are active in it. Are you actively seeking? Our actions, our heart attitude, are in the ways of the Lord, looking and seeking with our whole being for the things which are above. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. And he'll do that, even when we make mistakes. My son, give thy heart, give me thy heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Amen. Let's stand.